tiny figures stop moving and look up. A flock of birds lift and scatter. The sky is torn, and fire rains down until only utter darkness remains. Darkness and heat. The heat catches the bird and tosses it farther into the sky. A gear slips. The bird's wings compensate, but a billowing black cloud takes an eye as it passes. The city screams and then sighs 7 times, and after the 7th sigh, sunlight returns briefly to the scorched land. The plain is blackened, the spires and walls and towers all brought down into craters where basements collapsed beneath the footprint of desolation. A forest of bones, left whole by ancient blood magic, stands on the smoking, pockmarked plain. Darkness swallows the light again as a pillar of smoke and ash blots out the sun. Finally, the golden bird flees southwest. It easily overtakes the other birds, their wings smoking and beating furiously against the hot winds, messages tied to their feet with threads of white or red or black. Sparking and popping, the golden bird speeds low across the landscape and dreams of its waiting cage. Chapter 1. Rodolfo. Wind swept the prairie sea, and Rodolfo chased after it, laughing and riding low in the saddle as he raced his gypsy scouts. The afternoon sun glinted gold on the bending grass, and the horses pounded out their song. Rodolfo savored the wide yellow ocean of grass that separated the 9-fold forest houses from one another and from the rest of the named lands. It was his freedom in the midst of duty, much as the oceans must have been for the seagoing lords of the elder days. He smiled and spurred his stallion. It had been a fine time in Glimmerglam, his first forest house. Rodolfo had arrived before dawn. He'd taken his breakfast of goat cheese, whole grain bread, and chilled pear wine beneath a purple canopy that signified justice. While he ate, he heard petitions quietly as Glimmerglam's steward brought the month's criminals forward. Because he felt particularly benevolent, he sent 2 thieves into a year's servitude to the shopkeepers they'd defiled, while sending the single murderer to his physicians of penitent torture on Tormentor's Row. He dismissed 3 cases of prostitution, and then afterward hired 2 of them onto his monthly rotation. By lunchtime, Rodolfo had proven Atero's theory of compensatory seduction decidedly false, and he celebrated with creamed pheasant served over brown rice and wild mushrooms. Then, with his belly full, he'd ridden out with a shout, his gypsy scouts racing to keep up with him. A good day, indeed. "What now?" the captain of his gypsy scouts asked him, shouting above the pounding hooves. Rodolfo grinned. "What say you, Gregorik?" Gregorik returned the smile, and it made his scar all the more ruthless. His black scarf of rank trailed out behind him, ribboning on the wind. "We've seen to Glimmerglam, Rudaheim, and Friendslip. I think Paramo was the closest." "Then Paramo it is." That would be fitting, Rodolfo thought. It couldn't come close to Glimmerglam's delights, but it had held on to its quaint logging village atmosphere for at least 1,000 years, and that was an accomplishment. They floated their timber down the Rouge Blood River, just as they had in the first days, retaining what they needed to build some of the world's most intricately crafted woodwork. The lumber for Rodolfo's manors came from the trees of Paramo. The furniture they made rolled out by the wagon load, and the very best found its way into the homes of kings and priests and nobility from all over the named lands. He would dine on roast boar tonight, listen to the boasting and flatulence of his best men, and sleep on the ground with a saddle beneath his head. The life of a gypsy king. And tomorrow he'd sip chilled wine from the navel of a log camp dancer, listen to the frogs in the river shallows mingled with her sighs, and then sleep in the softest of beds on the summer balcony of his 3rd forest manor. Rodolfo smiled. But as he rounded to the south, his smile faded. He reined in and squinted against the sun.